is no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
It's kind of funny.
Whoop.
Sometimes, you know, love this job.
Love this job.
Love this job. But I will commiserate with this one guy I saw. This is one of my favorite headlines I've seen in a while.
Yes.
At the very top. It says, Loch Ness Monster Hunter, I thought this job would be easier.
You would think it would be actually much more difficult because the Loch Ness Monster has never been found. He is a Loch Ness Monster Hunter. What did you think the job entailed?
He just thought that he'd sit there because what he did, which is true, right? Because it's that first.
Thought this job would be easier.
This is what they say about comedy, right? Like, they said this is going to be about drugs, right? They said that drug dealers were going to give you drugs for free to get you addicted, and then you become a returning customer. That is not true because everybody knows already drugs are fun and great.
Well, they
can
be.
So they don't have to sell you on the concept of drugs.
Yeah. Well,
because it's real easy. There's a lot of advertising, a lot of free advertising for drugs.
Well, dude, I told you that story about the Unhail Yourself last week. We covered positive use of drugs. One chick took a bunch of crystal meth. Usually we say, don't do that.
Don't do that.
But then she had some guy come over to the drugger with a bunch of Cosby-like drugs. The meth kicked in, combated the offensive material.
It helped her.
And because of that, she was able to get that man out of there.
That's more of a parable of you never know what your true superpower is.
Meth.
But I remember when I first did comedy and you get that first buzz, you're just like, whoa, this is amazing, this is incredible.
Every show is going to be just like that.
And it never is ever again, and you keep going. But this guy, he moved to Dorset of the Loch. There was of the Loch Ness. It was like, I guess it's the area right next to the Loch Ness.
All right.
In 1991, and he said that he saw it once, right?
Yeah.
When he was like very, very, the very, very beginning.
That's actually worse than seeing it at all.
That's what he said. He's like, this is going to be incredible.
Yeah.
I'm going to see the Loch Ness Monster every day. We're going to become besties.
Wow.
We're going to hang out. We're going to go to dinner. We're going to have tea together. And then guess what?
Wow.
Never saw it again.
You almost wonder, would you rather just maintain your virginity as opposed to have amazing sex, but only once? Welcome to Side Story. Speaking of amazing sex, Henry hanging out with Ben.
Oh, yeah.
Not inside of each other. Mm. I want to thank everyone. I met a lot of different listeners in Tonopah.
Now, what do you mean by different listeners?
They were people, but they were different people.
So you went to this, what was
Tonopah,
called?
Tonopah, Nevada.
It's the scariest motel in the world.
And the only thing scary is the mountain I accidentally drove through because I missed a turn on the way there. And the next thing you know, I'm super stoned in the midst of a mountain. And, on the way back, I was coming back. We passed through Lone Pine. And I was like, why didn't I go through that mountain? And then everyone told me it's because you took the wrong turn. So you're not supposed to go through the mountain.
No.
So the way back was a lot easier.
But what was the scariest motel? Like, what was that?
Well, number one, you can't buy any of the tchotchkes.
Very scary.
They're all donated.
You mean you can't buy any? Because it's clown themed, right?
It's all clown themed.
It's all scary clowns.
It's clowns. And they say room 108, fucking freaky as shit, right?
Sure.
The town itself.
So did you have to call ahead of time and be like, I want room 108?
No, because I didn't know that. So I was in room 204. Just fine. Not bad.
But you no haunting. Above 108? You just go down. I feel like you could have went down to 108, knocked on the door, and been like, now time for me to make this creepy for you.
Well, when we did show up, there was a drunken man who just got back from the graveyard. Not sure if it's a functional graveyard. The tombstones look real. Mm. And then he said, I made a wish, and then I got into my room, and then there was a cross on the floor.
That was like, whoa. Well, that's not how graveyards work.
We don't know.
You can't just go to a graveyard, make a wish, and then go back to your hotel room and think it's going to happen. Because if that was true, you know how many nanas would still be alive?
Well, very true. Tonopah, which I learned how to say.
Very good.
It is InfoWars country. A lot of InfoWars out there. A lot of people combating false information.
Truly free people. They've broken out of this prison planet. We now know.
Yep.
I know this for a fact. I'm doing a lot of research. The light at the end of the tunnel that you see when you die, that's not heaven. That's actually keeping your soul in a forever reincarnation prison.
Whoa!
Right here on the planet Earth. We're not allowed to leave. Yep, you heard it here first.
Well, indeed. And then we went to Lone Pine after Tonopah. Just be careful, though. I don't like to demean places, but the brewery in Tonopah did cause a lot of food poisoning because they also have barbecue. But I don't think anyone's making it. So I don't know where they're getting it. But then Lone Pine.
You see, you do look skinnier.
Thank you. Lone Pine. there was a murder mystery. This was a town of about 3,000. It could not get any bigger.
You were reporting from the field.
I was from the field. I felt like, that's fine, good coffee. Lone Pine, Twin Peaks, a lot of similarities. The town is not able to get any larger because of the water reservoir. They're in charge of all of our fucking weather, water, by the way.
So that's what they're saying, because they're like, normally people have been haranguing us. All they want to do is move to Lone Pine.
If you saw the beauty
everybody
of Mount
wants
Whitney,
to abandon
if you saw the
their
beauty.
Lives, they can't wait to go to this Mount- place called One Tree. It's a city famous for One Tree. And you remember One Tree Hill had a molester in it.
I remember. I believe that was Seventh Heaven.
It's all the same.
It is all the same. But anyway, Lone Pine, I did find out. So I get there. There's these missing girl signs. A lot of missing girl signs on Highway 395
and
South.
It's just not just for lonely guys.
No.
Like showing a picture where they go like this. He's like, you see this sphere right here? Missing girl.
That might be a component as to why these young girls seem to be going missing. Mm. Dorothy. So I saw this sign for Dorothy. She's a mother and her
Do
mother
is- Do you have the full name? You should actually probably read it.
They did not give it to me. So,
it's just a woman named Dorothy.
Dorothy from Lone Pine killed outside of Independence, found naked, burned, and shot in a ditch. The guy that was, this town was so fantastic.
If you have any information on anything that sounds, this is true, because he was saying that there's like
June 1st, there's a whole town meeting.
Indigenous people are missing out of this small part of the United States of America. This is how
it's
far
crazy.
South? It's like 2 hours.
3 hours.
Is it?
It's
east?
South.
Is it south of Los Angeles?
Oh, I guess it took south back. It must be north.
Yeah. Wow. He doesn't know where he is. SidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. If you know anything about missing women outside of the
Independence, Bishop, these little, I learned so much about
Tonopah. Tonopah, Nevada. If you know anything, email sidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. We will get it over to the fabulous women over at Spun, because they do cover stuff like this all the time, especially on their streaming show on Twitch.
I was at Jake's Saloon. We'll get into some stories, but I was at Jake's Saloon, the one and only saloon on the main street there.
Great.
In a fantastic Lone Pine. And Mike, a fantastic bartender. I was like, so what happened, man? And he said he knew her since the beginning, Dorothy.
Wow.
Since she was a child. And he was like, it's just insane. Things like that just don't happen here in Lone Pine. And so no one knows. There's three suspects, evidently, but no one knows anything.
There's three suspects?
Yeah.
What is this, Clue?
I did make a mistake. You know what? I did make a mistake, though, because I get a little drunk, right?
No
way. And then I'm just like, let's really start talking to these guys. I asked the magician what happened.
No.
Real weird response. He said something about, I don't want to gossip.
You don't want to. Literally, all you do is make things disappear.
That's kind of what I led with.
Of course.
And then he kind of got really upset. But anyway, so check out Lone Pine if you want to have a little Western adventure.
People say, you and Kissel have changed. You've become Hollywood.
They don't say that.
We could absolutely still walk an entire room of human beings.
To make a magician uncomfortable is a skill that very, very few people have.
No, especially when you're asking about mysteries, they should be right on there.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
I have a couple of corrections. Again, we hear fully transparent here at Side Stories and Last Podcast on the Left. Number one, understand it was not History of Violence. It was Eastern Promises that Viggo Mortensen had the nude fight in. I'm just going to acknowledge
Eastern Promises? Yes. That wasn't even in my wheelhouse.
It didn't get in there. I forgot all about it. Also, turns out, Siegel taking the man's testicle is a fake story, and we covered the same exact story on Roundtable 6 years ago.
Well, and why is it fake? We have sources from 6 years ago saying that it's real.
I listened to some brilliant people talk about this over a decade ago.
This is just a micro of the macro media machine where they just cite their own sources. I'm citing Roundtable of Gentlemen
as
the story. Why is it fake then?
Well, it's just one of those. It was never real ever. But it just keeps.
But then they just publish it every year.
Oh, yeah. It's also how many times I have chased down a conspiracy theory I've read in one comment on a video or on a piece of information. And I'll see someone very confidently say, I'm going to say it's on a website that rhymes with Breadit, where you go and every single one of the comments will say some kind of being like, well, you know, all of this is famously debunked, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. They'll say something like totally confident. A bunch of people underneath it are like, yeah, absolutely. I read that too. And then I go with our research assistants and say,
you rebunk it.
I go and refine it. And then I send people out. We now have people that are trained to research. They go out, they look at it, and they're like, I didn't see anything about this. And I was like, I've wasted hundreds of dollars of company money.
Right.
Yeah.
Just wasting
doing that.
It.
Just
throwing
doing that.
It into, but again, because we're searching things out here. So that's why I have to debunk myself.
Absolutely. Well, that is completely and utterly reasonable behavior.
Yeah, it is. All right. Also, they didn't charge the man. There's another update. They found the guy that, well, that wasn't apparently the person who cannot be named.
Okay.
Right? The entity that cannot be named. But apparently
there was
the man that was the... Why are you doing this to me?
I've done it every time. I always do it.
And it's
each That's probably
time.
Why I didn't get food poisoning from the barbecue spot, even though the person I with, we ate the exact same thing. They did.
So you're becoming half squid. That's what you're saying. Is that you're becoming half congealed.
Well, that would explain
cooked squid.
That would explain a few different liquids that have leaked lately.
Oh yeah, but it's the man that was, I think, operating as a vessel. Of the S-Man was with the, remember when we found the pasta that was dumped in the riverbed?
I figured we were talking about that.
Yeah, and whoever this man, who obviously, you know, very much similar to Hank and It, who was kind of possessed by Pennywise.
Oh my goodness, I'm sorry to interrupt, but just quickly back to the Clown Motel. The best thing about it is, channel 36 and 37, it's just the original It and The Shining on repeat.
Seriously?
So I actually did get scared. I made myself, like, get really scared.
How, were the rooms creepy?
No. It's just,
not just a gross
it's
room?
Just a bunch of clowns.
But that's it.
Buddy, again, you can't buy anything because it's just donated.
Hey,
I literally grabbed...
I want it to be open. I want it to stay open.
I went into the gift store and I grabbed the highest mask. It was like an American flag clown ghost mask. I was like, that's really cool. And I took it from like no one could reach it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I was like, how much is it? Because you know how I'll be that doing
sure.
And they're like, oh, that's not for sale. Everything is given. Can you please put it back on the tree?
And you're like, well, what if I...
But I got you a t-shirt.
What if I give you money? No, I will take
No,
this.
They will not. They do
he
not
did.
Accept.
He did get me a t-shirt. It's from the Clown Motel. It is from Tonopah, Nevada.
Yeah,
and it
do,
is the finest petroleum.
They do not allow anything that is given to be sold.
All right, well.
Cursed objects.
Honestly, good for them. Good for
All
them.
Right, back on it.
But the man that apparently, as an operative, which they're not even revealing his name.
Is that an operative
okay. of the S-Man. You dropped a bunch of giant piles of uncooked pasta more than 25 feet in this wooded area. They dumped it along a creek in the it's old bridge.
This is Jersey, right?
Jersey, yeah. Yes. And apparently there's no criminal charges.
That's what the pasta looks like now?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, it melted. It just turned into total absolute garbage. They lifted it all up, but not until it turned into total garbage.
What is the crime?
Well, that's the issue. They're saying they didn't know what to do for it.
Littering?
You can't just say
loitering.
You might say littering. You might, but they decided to let this go.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid of what they will find.
Right.
When you open up the top of this story.
Absolutely.
That's what they're afraid of. Because as we know, these cops are afraid of. They don't like demons. Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, it's not really putting this person on trial that had the spaghetti dump. It's putting the system on trial.
It's about the system.
And that's, of course, they in Jersey, they said, you know what? We're just going to let this go, back away slowly. Well, I have a story that hits close to my heart with Arby's.
Now, this story is actually kind of fucked up.
This story is exceptionally sad. Speaking of The Shining, it almost seems like a small snippet of something that could have happened at that hotel up there. Arby's, as we know, the meat comes liquid. The meat also has to be frozen.
Well, I say like it transitions from liquid to meat.
It evolves.
Yes.
It likes to go through all of the different types of stasis.
It has a cocoon style, which is the plastic wrapping. You got to slice off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Then you slowly slice it into meat.
So there was a manager. She was 63 years old. She's a widow. She's the mother of four. Her name was Nagette Lee. She died on May 11th after being trapped in a faulty freezer. Wow. Now, what makes this even...
You know what made me kind of surprised? She was in there for 6 hours, and she was flash frozen. I didn't know Arby's refrigerators could work that well.
That's because the meat comes liquid, so it's got to be frozen.
Do you think that they try to slice some chunks off the manager?
They may have, like, because they were busy. You know, it's rush hour. People want their beefy cheese. I don't know if they still do the 5 for $5 deal.
Oh, yeah.
But you need to get those burgers out. So, yeah, maybe you're just like doing the grinder. You look down and you're like, that's a toe. God dang it.
Excellent. So, Nagette Lee, she was, her and her sons also worked for an Arby's in Houston. And they got moved out to an incredible sounding town, New Iberia. In Louisiana, to open up, or I guess help transition some new Arby's store. But he said that one problem was that they all knew that this Arby's store had a funky refrigerator that they couldn't get in and out of it without using a screwdriver. They had to use a screwdriver to open up the door. And so they arrived, they open up. It was like, they opened around 9 a.m. She went in there. She, I guess it was like 9:30 on May 11th. This is the middle of the morning. She went in.
Do they even have a breakfast menu? I think it's beefy cheese right to start.
I mean, if you're eating breakfast at Arby's, you better be on the way to chemo or something. Like, there is a, you gotta have to watch yourself. You gotta be careful. You shouldn't be eating Arby's breakfast.
I do not think Arby's pre-chemo is a good idea, to be honest.
Have you had the Arby's new chemo?
No, I haven't had that one.
Spicy chemo is one of my favorite new. It was so good. Crazy. I love it. You ever had Cool Ranch chemo?
I love it. And when you finish it, you ring a little bell.
Yeah, they're all like happy for you.
Yeah.
But that day, she went into the freezer, and then I guess it closed behind her, and she was not found until 6:20 p.m., and she was she was frozen to death. Found her. She'd like beat her hands bloody, just slamming on the door. This is the middle of the fucking day.
This is what is so disgusting. Again, much like Jack in The Shining, found frozen completely towards the end there. Her bleeding, beating on this door as her bones slowly, it's like fucking area 50. No, I'm sorry. It's like, what was it? Unit 31.
Unit 731.
Yes, 731.
Oh, yeah, just to see what happens to the fucking human body.
I would assume as her hands were frozen, and again, they're suing, and they should. Like,
They're suing. You're a multi,
like, you got to be because we got to go fix our fucking freezer.
She was discovered by her son that was there working that day.
They must not have been selling that much.
I mean, I don't know how this happens unless it is straight up murder.
That feels... Whoa, let's not even bring that up.
Maybe to bring in the old-fashioned. You ever heard about this? You used to do this back in the day, but they discontinued the mom and cheddar sandwich.
They discontinued
all of it.
Mm-hmm. So I think the final moments of this woman's life,
very
banging
scary
on an Arby's fucking freezer. Your hand has got to break at some point.
Yes.
And then with all the blood, you can feel like the ice going. Oh, it sucks, dude. So anyway, I hope that they get some compensation at very least.
I hope so. Side stories lpotl@gmail.com. If you cover yourself in spices, would that keep you from freezing to death?
Well, that's, you know, you do wonder if you just like spray a bunch of barbecue sauce all over your body.
Would that
is
protect
that a blanket?
You? Would that protect you in some way?
Would hot sauce protect you?
And that's what I'm saying.
But they don't
super
have hot
spicy
sauce. I don't think they do hot sauce there.
They shouldn't. Well, they do. Well, they got the horsey sauce.
Yeah, but that's not going to be hot.
There's an Arby's spicy sauce.
I don't think they're... I know
Arby's
they sell the Arby's sauce at
the
Ralph's.
Yeah, they
got
the hot sauce. I'm not going to fucking get us into another goddamn correction corner. Yes, please. There's an Arby's sauce. Classic tomato-based sauce, a sweeter and tangier version of ketchup. There's the Bronco berry sauce. The sauce is bright red and fresh tasting, but believe it or not, it's not a single berry in the recipe, according to this. This is spicy buffalo sauce, horsey sauce, which is... technically spicy because it's horseradish, but that's quite spicy.
A little bit.
And then, yeah, you got a cheddar cheese sauce. There's the spicy three pepper sauce. But I feel like they discontinued that because there were several people blinded by it.
We don't want to support Arby's until they get this woman compensation and her family.
They have a tzatziki sauce?
No. If they say they do, but they don't. There's no way they have a tzatziki sauce.
Who wrote this? Who wrote a book called Arby's Sauce is the Definitive Guide?
That is so sad.
This is a whole website called Arby's Sauce is the Definitive Guide.
An Arby's spokesperson told McClatchy News. They're on it. They say...
It's too late. It's been done. The fucking manager has been turned into an ice cube. What are you going to do now?
Report the news. May 26th, the franchise in New Iberia is, quote, cooperating fully with local authorities as they conduct their investigation.
It's too late.
Over this, air quotes, tragic accident.
It's because
Arby is trying to frame this as an accident as opposed to a massive mistake
when
it comes to their refrigeration process.
Because think about where she came from, right? She came from a fully functioning Arby's to go to this new sort of like out of the way Arby's.
New Iberia.
They brought her entire family over there. What did we stop that? What did we learn about doing that badly and why that's bad? Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
So they decided to put their entire family at this new Iberia. I wonder what she knew about Arby's that no one wanted to know. And why is Arby's covering this up?
The freezer is...
Why did they do this to this woman?
Do you know how cold the freezer is supposed to be at Arby's?
I don't know.
Negative 10. Isn't that fucking cold?
That's very cold. I mean, I get you because of the meat. I'd prefer it to be very cold.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, it has to be kept at that level of temperature because it's getting opened so often, so it must be hyper, hyper cold in there. I remember smoking weed at the pizzeria inside the freezer.
A little heated up a little
bit.
I
used to go there with Holden and I. We used to go there while customers were waiting for a long time when Holden used to work at that pita restaurant in Tallahassee. And
pita
we used to just
restaurant.
Get, oh yeah, we used to get yeah. lit just sitting in that freezer. And then like Fozy, his boss, he come back there and he was just doing like key bumps all the time, just like hanging out. And no one was eating food.
But you know what? I think if someone was a little bit more conscious of how hungry they are, maybe they would have gone into that freezer and stolen a bite or two.
Yeah,
I mean, because I used to do that all the time with the Auntie Anne's when I worked at Burger King. Is it Auntie Anne's or the other ones? I think it's another one, but they come a little frozen. Oh, man, no mole right in your mouth. Okay.
All right. Let's.
So this woman, she did collapse again in the fetal position on the floor.
Yeah, it's not good.
Anyway,
yeah, not
so good. We support you. And Arby's, you better pay up.
No, and I'm checking every fucking freezer of every Arby's I go to from now on.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, check it for you. Check it for the woman.
Negative
Look for the
10.
Goddamn woman.
My God.
Live from your grave.
A miracle in Missouri?
Possibly.
Talk about, like, completely preserved. And it doesn't deserve to be. Body of Benedictine Sisters Foundress thought to be incorrupted.
Yeah, this story is a little bit weird. It's nun-based. I will say this. We covered, I believe, last episode that there was a potential miracle involving bread.
Yes.
In the Eucharist form.
A real low reaching.
Real low. Yeah. I think that we are in.
God needs to do bigger, better things if he wants me to give a shit.
I'm starting to think it's more about Catholic Church and the humans that run it, because we also covered on Able Against Top Hat, there's about 451 priests in Illinois that molested over 2,000 kids. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's like a big, like, but.
Hey,
what about all the exorcisms? That's why we're needed.
So this woman was a Sister Wilhelmina Lancaster. She founded this group called the Benedictine Sisters of Mary, Queen of the Apostles, which apparently has like a bunch of hit songs. This is real. They have a bunch of hit songs. And this is one of them because they're calling it chart topping Gregorian chants. And this is one of them. This is legit. They basically said, but in the article, they're like, oh, it's kind of like a rock group of Christian groups. And I thought it was going to be more like Sister Act.
But I like this. This is authentic. This isn't cool Jesus. This isn't fake, faux,
no, this is
cool,
like
progressive
drinking
pastor.
Drinking blood, clearing out druids music.
I like it.
I mean, it's fine. It's soothing.
Yeah.
It's soothing, but I was expecting more like, well, yeah, but like gospel.
Sister Act was a movie.
But yeah. But it could be real.
I don't think Whoopi's even Catholic. No. I don't think she is.
I know she loves weed and she loves a big dress.
And she likes to toot. That's why she got the name Whoopi. That's
a
true story.
Yeah, she loves
That's
the
a true story.
What they're saying, what's interesting about this is it is the what they believe is to be the first African-American woman to be found incorrupt. This is something that has happened several times. They said that this woman was so holy that when the Catholic Church said to nuns, you don't have to keep in the habit anymore, right? That you actually can get rid of the habit, the traditional head wrap.
Wow.
So you don't actually have to have that anymore. But she insisted and built one out for herself. And she said that the reason why is because she's like, my name is Wilhelmina, so I have one hell of a will.
Oh, isn't that something? So she's having fun with it.
Well, she's dead.
And then she died 3 years ago.
But I guess,
get to the meat here, because then they didn't want to bury her right away for some reason. I'm not quite sure why. And then everyone goes and checks out her body, right? And then they're always looking at her and they're like, man, she hasn't aged a bit. I wonder if we could maybe just give her a little kiss. Long story short, you can't do that because she is still dead. But they say basically the human body, what, it takes like 6 months and then we turn into a skeleton, some shit like that. They say that she hasn't decomposed whatsoever.
Well, this is it again. It's probably fake and it's probably propaganda, but it is an interesting story. They said there was a flood had cracked open this grave site and that her coffin was basically came up out of the ground.
Ooh, it's like,
and they said that we opened her up and that she was incorrupted, which means not remotely decomposed at all.
It reminds me of that fantastic Sam Raimi film, Drag Me to Hell.
Oh, yeah.
I love a good coffin when it randomly opens and then the corpse comes on top of you and throws up a bunch of... She's perhaps bile.
I will say she did lose some weight.
Well, naturally, I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons you do it.
She lose some weight if you did. They said that when they lifted the coffin, this cracked open the coffin, they expected it to be about 20 to 30 pounds, but it was actually closer to 80 to 90. And if you look at her, I mean, you know, like, there's a lot of her left.
There is.
Yeah, they popped her out there and immediately started selling tickets.
They absolutely did.
They just had people come to hang out and look at this woman lay there like she's Bob Dylan and her next door.
This is why I'll never understand why Charles Manson didn't sell his body, because people are fascinated by it.
Never agree with his decision.
I don't know why he decided to be so precious.
Then he's classy.
But anyway, it is interesting once you go out, because there was also a lot of conversations about the Manson family, because I was up in like Northern California, and it makes all the sense in the fucking world, man. Dune buggies, people were covered in mud out there.
Well, again, that's where true thought can really live. It's got miles to live. Really think out loud.
You know what else lives out there? AM radio.
Oh yeah.
There's three channels.
Think about this. Northern versions of this. I kind of like nowadays. Think about Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Daybell got to kind of operate his own little like groupie world on a podcast network in a small town in Idaho. He had that whole little town believe in his shtick.
Bro, you know what else I learned about was a guy named Jim Butler. He lived in Tonopah. There was a 1911, a mine fire, right?
Yeah.
This guy, Jim Butler, he went down there, saved a bunch of fucking miners, but he didn't save 17 along with himself, and then he died down there too. But now it's called He's a hero. It's Jim Butler days. And so there's statues and stuff like that. But did you know him? No. But he basically runs this fucking town of unincorporated people.
His ghost.
Yeah.
His memory.
But they had a full parade and candy.
But guess what? If he showed up and tried to be mayor, they'd be like, you can't collect all of us. We're one with the dirt. That would have killed
him.
Yeah,
they're unincorporated.
They liked that he died.
Yeah. We have a lot of fans out there. I mean, three fans and two in the...
No, I want to visit the motel. Actually, I'm really excited about this. Story is probably fake. But, you know, I think miracles are very interesting because it's... the Catholic Church trying to stay relevant in its own way by like kind of pointing out to a group of people, hey, we're still spooky. Hey, remember every once in a while we're trying to be spooky.
You know, and that's one of the areas where there is a Venn diagram of some of our sensibilities. I always loved the Station of the Cross when I was growing up, going to Catholic school, the 12 breakdowns. It's just a horror movie.
Oh, and you
know how it ends and you're like, hey, Jesus, it's station number two, buddy. You're going to want to skip the next 10.
The Passion of the Christ is an actual horror film.
Wasn't that was shown in churches.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't they do like a church revival thing with that movie?
Oh, yeah. That was Mel Gibson's. He's ancient Catholic. He's a very strange man. Very, very strange man. And then remember when we did Mystery Science Theater 3000 on top of Passion of the Christ on Easter Sunday?
Did we do that?
Oh, yeah.
Was I there?
You must have been there. We did it on a Sunday. It was Easter Sunday, and we did Mystery Science Theater over Passion of the Christ. It was great.
That's fantastic.
It was one of the best times ever we ever had. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely a long movie. There. Yeah, it was definitely
like 3.5 hours long.
Well, anyway, I want to talk about this one story about Bradley Gillespie. Have you heard about this guy? He's a dude who escaped. He was an inmate who escaped, and there's been a series of escapes recently. This was in Ohio. He's 50 years old. He escaped, but you know what happened to him?
Huh.
They found his body floating in the river.
Oh yeah,
so he's dead.
Trying to learn? Oh, so you're just saying that he ran away 5 days ago, and then he dead. You know what? They don't have swimming lessons in prison. I guess
there's really no pools. There's no need for it.
No.
This is according to the sheriff. They say Bradley Gillespie's body.
Yeah, he was a dangerous guy.
Yeah. Seems like it.
Was he with Big Pun? Who's this guy?
The other guy escaped. I don't know.
Yeah, James Lee.
Usually they're not.
Is that Big Pun?
I don't know how a chubby inmate tends to escape. I think it's more difficult.
I don't know how he did. He's a big boy.
I mean, I have no fucking chance because you can't sneak through. I can't sneak through anything.
I mean, I guess you just kind of. Did he go inside the laundry basket?
They say today, I believe we have closure to the 5-day manhunt. Wanted fugitive Bradley Gillespie has been found deceased. His body recovered in the Ohio River in Henderson. He was serving time for murder when he escaped custody last week. They aren't really saying how he escaped. Oh, they got through a dumpster. They concealed themselves in a dumpster while en route to Kentucky.
Always fascinated by the escape stories of like how they actually put it all together to get out, because you definitely have to watch your environment. right? You have to kind of work yourself into a sort of position where people trust you a lot of the times because, you know, people get out through the barber program. Barber programs are actually really like, number one, it's nice because you can come out with a skill set if you're not trying to manipulate everybody. It's a really good place to get a skill set.
Are you able to do more than one style of haircut, though?
No.
Well, have to do the high and tight.
I might be
Isn't
wrong.
That prison high and tight?
I might be wrong. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com because I love that style of job in jail. Same thing with working in the kitchen in jail. It's actually a really great transitional job because you could go and actually learn a skill. And then when you leave prison, you actually leave with a bunch of like new abilities.
I do love your suburban view, but it's not about skills. It's about power. Whoa. If you work in the kitchen, are fucking God, dude.
Oh, yeah, but because that's what I'm saying. A lot of times, then it gives you access to the outside.
You won't believe what Tony would do for an extra burrito.
Oh, I know what I would do half the time. Man, if I could fit, I would be such a little whore for extras. Yeah. Man, for more sides, for two lumps of French fries, I'll fucking suck those balls.
I mean, that's what happens.
I'll pretend to like it too. I'll go, oh, yum.
That is exactly what happens.
You have to.
Yes.
You have to get soft.
Anyway, so they say that the levels of stages of decomposition are consistent.
It doesn't matter.
With a body that's been in the water.
It's fucking fake.
4 to 5 days. No, this story is real.
He died immediately.
Not the nun.
No.
The nun is fine. Well, the nun's dead, but she's also not as dead. But apparently,
you know what? I'm looking this picture of that nun to kind of bring it back. She's kind of fucked up.
She's not corrupted. No, I know she's just as fucked up as she should be.
Yeah, she's like mostly a mother.
We're still dealing with shades of a corpse.
Yeah,
it's not. Like, she's not doing taxes.
Yeah, she's not fresh.
But it's about wow, for a dead corpse, she looks pretty good after 3 years.
Yeah, same thing with like Diane Feinstein.
Oh God, I'm here. Remember
when
she almost gave up
Kamala Harris once.
She almost gave up the Night Stalker 50 years ago, and she hasn't stopped fucking this place up
since.
Things
are going to be fun.
Anyway, back to this story about the prisoner.
That guy died immediately.
Immediately. So he just escaped, and then he just drowned.
Maybe
he needed bricks. Concrete. Things that weren't at all liquid, because he just immediately jumped into the water in Ohio and drowned.
It's very, very difficult, especially if you don't know the terrain. You got to figure out there's a lot of roots.
Yeah, I know. It's just, he was not up to date on his swimming. They were arrested in 2016. I think once he got in, he was like really surprised by the water.
But it's not like swimming's changed all that much in the last 7 years.
Your ability to do it might, maybe.
I guess. I don't know. I honestly feel like maybe I'm wrong. Feels like drowning's real difficult to do. It's like getting hit by a train. You know what I mean? Where if you get hit by a train, it's because like, well, you were on the tracks, my friend. We know where the train goes. The train ain't unpredictable. Right? Yeah. We know it goes on this track. That's water there. If you can't swim, I guess you kind of had to.
I just don't know. I'm not sure if I am. But then also it's scarily easy to drown.
But can't you float on something?
He didn't go to he didn't have a wish list waiting for him outside the goddamn prison walls.
This is all about connections.
That's my alligator blow up for when I go into the water. Can I please have that pic?
Dude, did you see that story about the dude? And this is, I don't even have any, this is the whole story. It was a guy who was torn apart by 40 caiman alligators.
No.
I was trying to look for footage of it.
Little ones?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, they would be, you know, like tearing him apart like he's monkey bread.
Literally that joke where it's like, you want to be eaten by one big alligator or 1,000 little ones?
No, you want to be eaten by one alligator.
I would do one.
Yeah, you want one because
it's death
fast.
That death spiral, they know what they're doing. Yeah.
Multiples, you're screaming for a long time and they're picking you up piece by piece by piece.
And as we know with the West Memphis 3 case, they go for the balls, the dick, the eyes, all the soft tissue first.
Oh, yeah.
So even if you do survive after the first nibbles,
everything fun about you is gone.
What is life?
This guy wasn't running from gators. He was running from fucking ghosts.
Yes, he was. Right? Let's get into our ghosts and alien segments.
Yes, I got some good alien stuff, too. Now, this guy says he broke into a house and he said it was to hide from a ghost. Now, I want to go through this whole story and let's kind of imagine, though, if it was real.
I mean, I think it was real to him.
Florida man Andrew George, he's in jail for breaking into a home because he said that a ghost was chasing him. This is in Daytona Beach. What a surprise.
Okay, but what if it is true?
That's what I'm saying. George was booked last week on 2 counts of burglary. Now, according to his arrest report, They were these dispatchers. They were called to Daytona Beach. It was this some nice little house, right? When they arrived, they found a man. He was laying on his back on the front steps of a home. He was covered in blood and he was crying out in pain.
Okay.
His alleged accomplice, a woman by the name of Natasha Couturoy, was standing over him. Now, this comes from Law and Crime.
Yeah.
After speaking with George, Couturoy, and several other witnesses, everybody, you're kind of figuring out what's going on here. They realized, right, that George and Couturoy, his accessory.
Yes.
Right, they had rented a room in a nearby travel inn.
Okay, very nice. A nice travel inn.
Just
welcome.
Relaxing, I imagine, imbibing some methamphetamine.
Maybe. You're adding.
I'm adding, right?
Wow, so like your father, you're sprinkling drugs on
it? I'm in creating a storyline for them to attach themselves to. Mm-hmm. It's in the interrogation manual. Now, they got this room. They were in the room for about 30 minutes, and they said that they heard a window opening, and they thought someone was trying to break into their room.
Scary.
They then went to the manager, and they demanded a refund, saying, this room's too desirable. People keep trying to break into it. This madness must end.
Well, absolutely. And, of course, if it is haunted, you flip it, you reverse it, you make it a haunted hotel, and people will drive 6 hours to go to the middle of nowhere, spend the night there, and realize that the really haunting is the barbecue restaurant that gave you food poisoning.
But you made 6 more fans. And that's really what's most incredible here about your story.
Yeah, maybe we doubled it up.
That's huge.
They were definitely surprised at my size.
Oh, yeah, sure. So the manager, give it to him, refunded these two people. Came in and said that someone's trying to break into our room. He's like, you know what? Here's your money. Please leave.
It's been 30 minutes. Again, if this was for a quickie in a sexual fashion, perhaps the manager would have been like, no, I know what happened in there. You guys did the deed. We're not going to give you the refund. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the manager almost knows that the complaints are coming. Perhaps, no. Indeed, this room at that travel inn is haunted.
Yep. It is not a bug. It is a feature. Now, George and Couturoy, they observed what then they said was a shadow behind them. And thinking it was the person who was, quote unquote, breaking into their motel room, they ran across the street in an attempt to hide from the said shadow. Again, imagine that these were real ghosts, right? The duo claimed that then they went to 7-Eleven and they asked for help, saying,
right,
help, help, help. A ghost tried to break into a hotel room and now it's chasing us.
Like It Follows. And again, what if it is true?
And then they ran towards the Halifax Marina. George kept running around the marina's parking lot. And he said it was, quote, due to a ghost chasing him.
Yes, he was going absolutely crazy.
He then told officers he was scared of this ghost. He was scared the ghost was going to harm him. And so then he jumped into some form of retention pool where he said the ghost followed him into the water. And Couturoy thought that George had just fallen into the water. So she pulled him out of the water. They then ran across the street saying this ghost was in hot pursuit.
No
they then
way.
Started banging on people's doors, screaming for help, saying, help, help, help. We're being chased by ghosts. Well, no one believed them.
Well, this is kind of one of the main problems when it comes to being a hero. Someone's knocking on your door. Help, help, help. Now, naturally, of course, you want to help if they're a victim of the toy box killer. If you're Jeffrey Dahmer,
you see someone with a handcuff hanging from them covered in blood, you really need to like sit and listen and be like, okay, yes.
But then they say, first of all, they kind of look scary. Like, they're the ones
first.
That maybe someone
crazy.
Is running away from.
Yeah,
and then they're like, no, a ghost is chasing us. Unless you got the salt ready to sprinkle right in your doorway, you really can't open that door.
You're bringing the ghost to me.
Exactly. So you've actually done a massive disservice. That's why if you are being tracked by a supernatural ghoul, you got to figure it out.
Well, I think actually Gabriel had I think George was correct in jumping into water, because I think you can hide from ghosts like you hide from a swarm of bees. And you can actually hide yourself amongst the water. But I guess that did not work because then they ran across the street to a bunch of neighboring homes where then George started grabbing and pounding. He was pounding on people's doors and then he grabbed a chair and he broke open the window of one of these homes.
That's where the criminality began.
Yeah, but then the people who live inside, they called 911 and they told George to please leave because if not, we're going to stab you with this knife. And then as he tried to get into the home, the owner of the home stabbed George with a knife.
Well, there you go. George allegedly told officers he couldn't get into the home due to God telling him the female was a bad person to hang out with.
I feel like he's blaming the woman.
Yeah, that lives in the home. George admitted to taking Molly. Okay, you sprinkled the drug story, but it was Molly.
But I've taken Molly half a dozen times, maybe 10 times I've taken Molly.
I would say
I have never seen a ghost.
Maybe like a friendly ghost.
Well, they my must friends have had like became bad friendly ghosts.
They must have had like bad Molly. Because Molly usually, what the steps of Molly are, you take it.
What do you mean it went by the purchase date?
I don't know. But you take it and take too much of it because, I mean, that's my favorite. Well, not my favorite, but one of the stories I have with Kevin, he had a little thing with Molly. It was the 90s. It was about 5 years ago in Brooklyn. And then he's like, I was like, how much should I take? And he's like, take the whole bag. But he was joking.
Yeah.
But then, of course, I'm just me. And I was like, that's not okay then.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what Kevin said.
Took the whole bag. And then that was followed about 5 minutes later, like I ate that barbecue. And that way it was a real cleanse. But then after you cleanse,
you feel great. Laxative. You did the entire bag
that
of
Molly. That was a problem.
Yeah, I bet you, because that must have been a lot of money.
Yeah, but he was paying.
He didn't care.
He was a writer for television. He was a TV star. Future movie star. Anyway, so this man is now just kind of chilling out, and we just have no word on if the ghost is still around or if they put him
the
in
ghost
a
ghost mysteriously disappeared.
A box.
They must have called a priest.
Yeah, they must have.
But I do sometimes what I actually, Marcus and I have had this conversation. If I ever showed up saying, like, I'm fucking haunted, like, my house is riddled with demons, right. Something's going on there. And he was like deeply torn, right? You show up, think about this. I show up at your house, tears streaming down my face, like, literally saying, I am wickedly haunted. You know, number one, you're like, well, if you might be seeing these things because of what you have in your brain. But two, maybe. Marcus also then said, but you'd be the one person that might also know all of the things that are fake about the experience. You might then actually know that it's completely real because of what you know.
We're going to do an uncle seance. Same thing that I did when I stayed at the Andrew Jackson Hotel in New Orleans.
Just get too drunk for the ghost to approach.
Make the ghost feel so unwelcome, but not in a way like, get out of here. More like in a way of like, come here. You know, because that's another way to make people feel like I got to go is when you're like, just stay with me. Just stay with me. And so we're going to do a 72-hour uncle seance. Where we will do the stuff. We'll do the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But we
are
going to be fucking
real drunk.
You might have to smoke a couple of cigars.
Oh, yeah. We'll watch old YouTube videos of ourselves.
Yo,
and
dude.
We just play those on loop where we talk about, you remember when we did it?
It'll be great.
You remember I need this?
I'll bring my wrestling plaque and I'll break down why I got better my senior season.
I'll show all my old SNL tapes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We're going to, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because then maybe at the end we'll have learned something about ourselves and to move on.
That's the whole point. So this is a new tradition here at LPN, the uncle seance or aunt seance.
Make it bad for them.
That's the thing. When it comes to ghosts, sometimes they leave an odor, but there's nothing more odorous than 10 stinky men after a 3-day binge on meat and booze.
We'll make sure no one's there.
Live from your grave.
All right. Well, I want to tell you this story.
I got a couple of UFO things real quick.
Yes, this is the one I wanted to talk about.
Okay, great.
I loved this. I mean, I'm telling you, this fucking shit is crazy now.
Now we got new footage, and this comes from the recently released footage from the Weaponized podcast hosted by Jeremy Corbell and George Knapp, who we did a little bit of interview with a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
they're
I know.
Great.
We're like, this is just, I just had one of those moments too where I was like, this is how mainstream, flipping through my channels, Fox News. There's Jeremy Corbell.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy. And I was like, our worlds now, it's just so anyway.
It's all on top of itself because it's like for Fox News, UFOs are like the only like neutral thing that they can talk about.
But this was the funny thing. Jeremy did a great job. He was on with Lawrence Jones, I think, or whatever. But they cited a study that is not true where they're like, is it true that UFOs mostly like America? 92% of UFO sightings are in America.
Stupid.
And Jeremy Corbell was like, that's not true at all.
That's not really true. Yeah.
But it is just funny that they still try to, because that's where we're in now, is nationalizing them.
How do we make our nut on this?
Because all they have to do is look at what happened with Vietnam. They even thought about giving people a pension and we went on a 30-year war. So these fucking, I feel like these UFOs are going to be scared as hell if they don't.
Oh, yeah.
Really love our corporate oligarchs.
We're going to talk. Let's go into it a little bit.
Yes.
So this video, they came back. This is a video of a UFO that was shot outside of 29 Palms, California. It was in April in 2021. And we see when you look at this video is that it is a series of lights, very similar to the Phoenix lights.
Yes.
Where you're in a little bit of an arc. There's some people that are saying, they're trying to debunk it, saying that it might have been flares, which is what we've heard many times. They said that about the Phoenix lights as well. But when you look at these lights, you could actually see that they are vaguely stationary. When flares go up, they look like tears in the rain.
Yes.
Right? They look like that. Where
well, they're relatively finite.
Yes.
They go up, they flare out very fast.
They flare out, and you watch them drip, basically. These are stationary in the sky. One or two are kind of hovering, very similar to the Phoenix lights. But it really brought to my attention, like, you know, as I was going through myself, that there's been brand new series of leaks that are on the most reputable website on the internet, 4chan, that are
I swear to God, every year, I think 4chan is gone, but then it never goes away.
It goes there. Well, now it's like, you know, it's the place where everybody else that's too offensive for everywhere else is like makes fun of 4chan because it's like, you know, it's sold out.
Oh,
it's different. It's sold out.
I do have like the nerdiest internet thing I can say is LiveLeak used to be better.
Oh, of course.
Because I don't know. Where's the motorcycle accidents?
Ed and I were talking about this today about how like it's kind of sad about how like it's so easy on even on Instagram, you can still see beheadings and shit. It's like fucked up. But on YouTube, there's no videos. We're trying to find video of the dude getting torn apart by the 40 alligators.
Sure.
We couldn't find any of it. Where's the stuff? I miss it.
Anyway.
All right, so this guy is a leaker. So it's interesting because it kind of says what this phenomena is in a way that like, who knows? It's probably all made up. It's a guy who's saying that he used to work for essentially some form of acronym that he cannot name that is attached to the DOD and that he is now dying of liver cancer. We've heard this story and again, mm-hmm. but it's a really fun take on it where he is saying he has intimate knowledge of what the U.S. currently knows about UFOs and that UFOs are primarily unmanned drones.
Okay.
That they have used to maybe have some more bodies in it. But they're starting to think that some of the bodies that we have seen are projections, which actually what the Jacques Vallée line of it is that they are projecting bodies for us to basically commiserate with them and think that they are bodied creatures. But actually, even those bodies themselves are biomechanical puppets operated by some form of consciousness, sometimes known as an ISB.
Okay, right. Interesting. I mean, to some degree, isn't that what that stupid-ass Tesla that just got out of our solar system is to some other weird-ass planet?
Sure, absolutely.
You're just going to look at that stupid fucking Tesla and be like, well, I wonder what douchebag made that.
What he says is that there is, outside of the Bermuda Triangle, there is a, what he basically said is a hamburger-shaped UFO giant thing that shits out the UFOs that we're currently seeing, these tic-tacs. These spheres,
like the Amazon, drone balloon.
They're saying that they know very little about kind of why or what the reasoning are. They believe that they say it's like we are inhabitants of a zoo and they are some form of zoo keepers that are watching us and that they do not know their actual intent. But they're saying that what they do is why every single ship that we then see, quote unquote, ship that we see is different. It's because each one is built to spec for specific purposes. For the specific pilots. So pilots that are operating it from some other location, probably off the planet, that are built, these machines are literally built to the alien itself so that it can connect into it by its own biology. And that the machines itself are like living creatures that are like are skins that are put around frames. And that's why each UFO looks different is that they shit them out. And a lot of times when they come out, they are coming out during times of world strife. And especially nuclear assemblies, which we're going to get into. You're going to see this week, you're going to get a lot into that.
I'm surprised there's an uptick then because everything is so peaceful and great.
But they said that they try to, they'll spur tensions between countries, that they will like decide to ramp things up for us if we are operating in a way that they are not basically okay with. They're also saying anytime we approach this thing, it destroys everything. It destroyed a nuclear submarine.
Right. Well, I really hope that we are giving them one hell of a show. The video was taken, again, 2021.
Yeah, this video, which is like, you see these lights, but you really should read this, Kissel. It took about an hour. Look how long this is.
That's a lot of words.
You see, it's really long. It's
mostly
long.
Black. It It seems mostly redacted.
Well, yeah, they're opening
it
up.
Oh, I see. It's just kind of loading.
Here you go. He says a lot of weird
shit. Oh, I see. 4chan.
These are all big. Well, it got immediately taken down from 4chan because, you know why?
Why? Truth?
It was too true.
It was too true.
I got taken down. And so now it's out there. He says that he was working with this group for a long time and they finally stopped working together investigating these crashed UFOs. And so like he says, which is really interesting because I was also listening to an interview with an alien, which is completely legit. It's the Roswell alien interview revisited. That is extreme.
Well, what did they call him or was it what kind of interview was that? We'll send you five questions and just write back, please.
No. You see, it was put together by, maybe I don't know if I should download this. I'm realizing this is pretty. I have to get back to the top of this here.
Yeah, you might end up getting a massive.
Lawrence R. Spencer put this together, who wrote a series of fiction books called The Oz Factors. Lawrence R. Spencer was given this interview with a woman that used to be a nurse for the Los Alamos nuclear testing facility.
Okay,
right?
So he spoke with a nurse that spoke to an alien.
Well, she decided that she was going to be the one to like give Lawrence R. Spencer the scoop on the fact that she talked to an alien for 5 days that was recovered from the Roswell crash.
Awesome.
That this is where all the information about being an ISB is, and basically about how each alien body is, again, also built to spec, that is used for various basically physical purposes, but they don't have to eat. They don't have to hear anything. They do everything psychically. This is all completely legit.
I know. And you know what? I'm just so happy that you can fit in pants. Isn't that nice? Because when you say these things, and I love it. I love it. I love that you're the buffet of knowledge on UFOs.
And I
think that this is fascinating.
I just want to have other. I thought that maybe we could do our own rundown of this at last podcast and left, but most people are going to be like, that's really dumb.
Right.
But I think that it's up to you to allow the ideas to slide into your own brain because you're only truly gullible when you're alone in your computer at night by yourself.
And it is one of the theories is that everyone's interactions are unique and different. Just lastly with this, one interesting thing is when it comes to the witnesses, again, we're talking 50.
This is the object that we just saw.
The giant black triangular shape hovering over California. 50 U.S. Marines saw it. Not necessarily known to be the most jovial of folks.
I think,
again, when you have that many witnesses and that many people experiencing a phenomenon, and now you had a chance to see the phenomenon, it is absolutely, truly fascinating. Whether you think it's an alien or whether you think new tech, whatever it is interesting.
All right. Well, they say that the Chinese have managed to retro create a piece of alien technology that allows them to mine without digging. But then they also say that they lie all the time about their capabilities. So we don't know. They also said the spheres that we're seeing are actually hammer shaped. Right. And they emit a ball piece of light, which is what we see, but they're actually hammer shaped. They found UFOs that actually are more like labs that you go inside, but each UFO is different. They said they've never found a cylindrical UFO because they said that that's what they're ultimately looking for. Well, no, because those are Tic Tac shapes. You're talking about the long cylinders.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, buddy. All right. Well, speaking of reality shows, just lastly, Elizabeth Holmes, a.k.a. Liz with the deep voice.
We got her.
She's staying at the same prison as a Real Housewife of, I'm assuming, Salt Lake City, Jen Shah. So they're hanging out.
They started finally arresting those Real Housewives?
Yeah, she's serving time in a federal prison
of the long eyelashes.
Yes. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. That's the other notable inmate, Jen Shah. I have no idea why she.
Who is she?
Oh, I see. Well, let's see.
I bet you that's a big, long story that we don't know anything about. And
she was Shaw is 49. She was imprisoned at the Brian thing there, the facility.
She pleaded guilty to a conspiracy criminal charge for what? We've just stumbled into a whole cross section of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City stands that we're going to have to deal with.
Right. She's got a 78th month.
All money laundering and wire fraud. That's great. Honestly, those are sexy crimes.
I kind of figured it would be that. So Shaw is actually serving a 78 month sentence. So that's about 5 years there. And then she's going to be hanging out with Liz Holmes. So I hope they have a good time.
And she's going to be there for 11 years. When Elizabeth Holmes comes out, I guarantee she is going to jump right back into business, kind of like what that Anna Delvey chick did too. Maybe. She's going to jump right back in and the people are going to be chomping at the bit. Unless at that point, we're post irony. And everybody's
talk show.
Yeah, 10 years from now, where it's like the opposite, where she's got to dress in. I think we're going to go into a renaissance. I do think that we're going to start dressing like Vermeer paintings with Dutch boy caps, long, like nightgowns for the men. The women wear like many, many ruffles. I think we're going to head into that world.
You think we're going to go through a ruffled phase?
I think we're going to go into a full Dutch medieval period.
Riverdance had quite a thing going in the Midwest.
Tall boots.
Yeah.
The clog dancing revolution that happened in this country in the mid-90s was horrible.
Absolutely.
It set us back, man, because clog dancing, that's weird.
But it is interesting. Liz Holmes got that many years, and that other guy with the other scandal there with the I'm a big douchebag company, FTC or
FTX.
Yeah, FTX. I think she pissed off some very, very wealthy people.
Oh, very and, much so. Because
of that, they look stupid. The other dude, I think they just want their fucking money back.
I don't know what's happening with that guy. I don't really even understand. You know, you watch
he
you know,
didn't
Larry,
do it right.
Larry David did the commercials for it, and everyone was like, what the living fuck is this? What are we doing here?
Actors.
We don't
should
know.
Not be trusted.
I don't know what I'm advertising.
No.
Okay. If you see me doing anything as a financial product, I don't know what the fuck it is. And so that's why largely I don't want to tell our audience how to spend their money at all, because I spend my money real stupid. I buy shoes that immediately go down in value. There was a pair of shoes that I had. I just had a pair of strawberry cough dunks that like, I follow StockX, which is like shoe stock market,
good.
Right?
Sure.
And so one of them, it went to like, it was a pair I bought when it was like, first came out at like a normal price, was like $200. And then it went up to like $1,500. So I was like, oh shit, I finally did it. This is cool. I'm riding away.
Yeah.
And immediately it just went right back down to like $185.
No. You didn't sell it.
No, because I like the shoes. I'm not trying, I'm not buying them to flip them.
But you do know, then what does it matter?
I like to look at it and see that the shoe.
That's how much, so. But then you're just losing, you know, it doesn't matter.
It's like horses. It's like owning racehorses.
Yeah, but you race them. You don't just look at them.
No, if I own racehorses, I would just run them on my own field and tell everybody, you have an idea how much my horse would kick your fucking horse's ass? But I love my horse too much. I want my horse for my wife and my family.
So these gals are going to be up at 6 a.m. They are going to be paid between 23 cents and $1.15 for their work, I think, per day. So there you go. She'll still be making some cash. Isn't that nice?
God.
I bet you she could probably pick up where she left off with Theranos just in prison.
Oh, very much so.
I mean, this is the same quality.
I bet you if I take a look at your blood. Okay, let me guess. give me a thimble full of your blood.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely got that hepatitis. Yeah, you got the hep.
All right, time for Hero of the Goddamn Week.
Hero of the Week. Let's just do Hero of the Week here. Sure. Let's do...
Is it good?
Let's do...
You prepared?
After walking 4 years, after years of walking at 4 a.m. to haul trash, this guy graduated from Harvard Law School. There you go. It'll be a person today. 18-year-old.
We're congratulating somebody who's going to take all of our fucking jobs.
Well, okay. 18-year-old. I don't think that we're competing with Harvard grads for jobs. We circumvented them.
You wait till the Ivy League takes over podcasting.
I remember hanging. I know Ivy League people and they're all super dumb, but not this guy because he's Hero of the Week. He was really, really hardworking. And he's 18-year-old Rehan Staten. And he worked for years as a garbage man to support a charge into Harvard Law School. And then he did do that. And so now, isn't that something? He's going to Harvard. So he worked real hard there.
That's fucking great. So, that's really great. What a hero he was.
What a hero
what
he
a
is.
Real, what isn't a great hero. He gets to go suck a guy's dick in the skull and bones.
These green...
Yeah, great.
There's
that
also,
Princeton?
There's also green... There's some green books that are poisoned. Well, it's not a hero, but
no, that's just a bunch of words I didn't understand.
There are poisonous books, the Communist Manifesto or Mein Kampf, for example, and they're poisonous. They're green, so don't drink those.
I don't know what he's
they
saying.
So I'm looking at goodnewsnetwork.org, and the headline is, these green books are poisonous and may be on a shelf near you, but I don't know why it's
good. I thought it was supposed to be a good news.
I know. But I think it's because it's Mein Kampf in the Communist Manifesto. So people are like, oh, that's good. If the people have those, maybe they should be poisoned. I'm not sure why it's good news.
You can still buy Mein Kampf on Amazon.
Yeah, it seems like every world leader has read it multiple times.
Yeah, but honestly, it's just so hard for me to keep them. I keep giving them away.
I know.
Every Christmas.
I always leave them in the hotel rooms. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. They keep on charging me. charging me extra. They keep on being like, oh, it's 100% charge for a hate crime. I'm like, what the heck?
Hate crime?
Hate crime. Hey, how is this a crime?
This is a crime.
All right.
I'll tell you this one story. And it's just because it's just we got deep into Papa John lore. We found out Marcus would not have gotten into podcasting if it wasn't for Papa John's.
I know.
I felt inclined to share this story about Papa's own bloodline, his son, Bo. I live in Louisville, Kentucky, and Bo and I went to the same high school here.
Oh.
I was a freshman when he was a senior, and as you can imagine, everyone knew who Bo was due to his father. Bo was a bit of a celebrity in high school, but not in a cool way. Everywhere he went, no matter where he was in the school, he was constantly having to hear other students shout, Bo's in the house because of a commercial he did. You remember that? I remember that commercial.
Oh.
Because of a commercial he did with his dad when he was younger. I don't think I went a day that year without hearing Bo's in the house. This brutal. All culminated one day towards the end of the year when he came into my homeroom class to talk to the teacher. As soon as he stepped through the door, two students shouted, Bo's in the house, yeah. Right on cue. The taunting must have finally gotten to Bo, whoever, because when he heard his catchphrase this time, he snapped. I watched Bo explode on those students and dive long on a long rant about how he did not want to be in that commercial and about how he could not choose this life or who his father was. It was incredible to watch, and I never saw him around school again after that.
Aww.
I guess this is the pressure thrust upon you when you have someone as powerful as Papa as your papa.
Wow, poor Bo.
I mean, you know.
It's also not that bad.
It's not that bad, but you don't choose this life. I'm just going to imagine that Papa, when he's Papa to everybody else, does he have time to be Papa to you?
Maybe not.
Because I think I heard that about Jim Henson.
Yeah, I heard that also.
Working
you know,
with his son is that his son basically said, they all ask him, well, your father. He's like, the whole world got my father. I did not.
Okay. You know how many people really don't have a father? Like, you do have a father. Yeah, he probably just didn't care that's much about stupid shit. He was working with puppets.
And that's why you got to live every day hoping you're going to be successful enough to ignore your children.
Yes.
And then when you are so successful and the whole world is saying, like, what an incredible man you are. You laugh every time you go to your side piece's house and you tell her, you eat too many popsicles. Too many popsicles, your mouth's cold when you're kissing me, I hate it.
Right.
I'm the world's funniest baker.
There you go.
I make the world's funniest cakes. Little non sequitur
right? There, but
you can laugh.
Wait, do you live?
You love that knowing, man. Whole world doesn't know I'm a piece of shit because I'm an incredible funny baker.
There you go. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I've got some Hail Yourself dates that I'm going to put on my Instagram. So please, someone show up to some of those shows.
Come on. Watch him, man.
We have
go
fun.
There, go yell at him.
I got my nipple tassels.
Come
we have
on.
Fun.
Go watch him.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Smuggulation.
See you this week. We'll see you around town this week.
Avoid the water.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.